Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and we're upstairs in the 19th hole Clubhouse Studios, brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka, Sea Dogs Brewery, Shipyard Brewery, and of course, there's John in the house, the man with the plan, the Buffalo Bill fan. That's the only flaw he has on his resume. Otherwise, he's an outstanding young man. But he's a Bills fan.
You can't win them all, Mike.
No, you can't. Well, they win a lot.
They certainly do.
He's the GM down here at Ferg, where we are positioned for the next hour. We had a nice first hour of diversity.
Certainly was. Yeah, it was good. All kinds of stuff from soccer to tennis to skateboarding, baseball. Heck, we got it all.
Yeah, and this hour we're going to talk. Now, did you go online and look a little bit about that Florida Grid League?
Yeah, I looked it up, Mike. It's kind of interesting. It seems like a
competitive. They got like 330,000 followers.
Wow.
On their, I think, IG.
That's very impressive. I mean, it looks pretty interesting. What it seems like it's some kind of like a weightlifting competitive team sport,
man.
All laid out over a 2-4-part grids with a separated rig in the middle. I'm trying to figure it out. It seems like there's all kinds of different competitions.
Well, you're the one that likes all the weird competitions in sports. John Ruggles, the president of FCA, he's over there running one of the grids today in Orlando. So he's gonna hook us up with this Ruby George and talk about that. Then we're going to talk to Brad Richardson last night, as we discussed earlier in our Body Armor Prep Connection conversation. Florida All-Star team played the California All-Star team, which I love because I know a guy from Cali that says the best baseball is in California. And
they proved it
last night. Well, look at the College World Series. See any California schools?
Nope.
No. Oregon, Pac-12 schools. There were hardly any Pac-12 schools made the Final 48.
I mean, it's remarkable the talent that's coming out of here, out of the South. I mean, in the last few years, what was it? Ole Miss won, Mississippi State won, and now LSU. What was that? Three out of the past 4 years, I think, a school from like the deep South.
Omaha, Nebraska, which I've been there many times. I told you it's got to be on your bucket list, has turned into the SEC capital during the College World Series. And probably not so much Florida and LSU, because they have their own incredible fan base. But Mississippi State didn't travel great. Mm-hmm. So the locals typically embrace the team. And it was North Carolina State last year, and then they got on Mississippi State bandwagon. So it appears they have a fan base there. But that LSU fan base were rabid. You see them?
I did, Mike. They're a crazy bunch, and I'd love to see it a little bit, to be honest with you.
It's a blast. We used to come down from Sioux City when I was about in your age group, and we would party at Rosenblatt. We'd hook up with the wildest people and party with them, and was an absolute hoot. I mean, we became fans of a lot of different teams, I can tell you right now. Wore the gear and just started, free beer, hanging out, tailgating with people.
Hey, that's my kind of party, Mike. That sounds like a great time. I mean, that's definitely
Tiger
a bucket.
Tiger fans took over downtown Omaha.
Really?
Oh, yeah. The night before the championship game, after getting throttled, what was that score? 22-4? Florida, 22-4 night.
Mm-hmm.
And then the turn around and win it 19-4.
Yeah, they were unbelievably high
scoring. What's the deal there in the world of baseball? That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. There's some weird. It's a whole different, I don't know, mentality going into a lot of these games where guys are now swinging for the fences. We've seen it in the bigs. We're seeing it in the minors as well, or not minors, the college game as well. So it's really impressive to see how baseball has changed and how even at the college level, the approach is completely different.
I thought they were going to get rid of the aluminum bat. That is dangerous.
Well,
man.
there are at least one or two Division One conferences that only use wood bats, and they're mainly in the Northeast.
Gotcha. Hey, let's go quickly. We were talking about the Florida Grid League, and she's kind enough to take time over in Orlando, Ruby George, to join us. How are you, dear?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, great. So you got about 10 minutes to squeeze us in. Explain exactly. We've been Googling it, and I talked to John Ruggles yesterday. What is this Florida Grid League, this Grid League concept? It sounds like you go to the gym and you look around, you see the biggest badass in the place who can lift, and you're looking for all these skill sets, and you assemble a team and you go and compete.
Yeah, kind of. I like to say that it takes some of the movements that you might see in CrossFit, gymnastics, sprinting, puts it in together into a team sport like football, and then packages it for entertainment like American Ninja Warrior. So it's very, very fast. It's very fun and exciting to watch. And if you get into it, there's positions on the team, and so there's a lot of strategy involved, and people are doing amazing, amazing things. So people get really into it. The best part about it, though, is that men and women are on the same team. And so there's somebody for everybody to watch and enjoy and get into when they're watching and choosing which teams they're going to support.
So there's two different team types that your league is broken up into, correct? It's the four or the six person one and then the 14 person one?
There's actually two different ways to play, essentially. There's a couple of different ways to play. The kind of starter level where it's all levels of skills is like a grid six. And so that is a six person team. It would be a one-off event that you would just sign up for with your team and play and get to play the sport. The 14 to 18 person teams are the league itself. So there's eight teams in the Florida Grid League. And they all sign their teams based on their roster needs. It's very much like a football league where there's a regular season playoffs and championships and, all of that kind of typical sports structure.
Now, is this pay for play? Is there an opportunity to make some money, or is this just for the entertainment of it and the camaraderie and a cool sport to bond people with?
Yeah, so it's, we like to say it's semi-professional. It is a, there is a player fee to get involved with the league at this point, but we also offer a lot of opportunities to earn revenue as well as a player. There's opportunities to get sponsorships. There's opportunities to earn revenue through league sponsorships as well. You know, you can sell your player jerseys and earn revenue. So there's a lot of different ways that you can get your fee covered, but it is also, technically we're an amateur sport.
Now, is this sport played outside of the state of Florida? Is it this a national platform?
At this moment, the only place to play grid is with us in Florida, as far as I'm aware anyway.
Cool.
We do have players fly in from all over the country, and actually we have two international players this year as well. So, it's kind of like the Grid League that plays in Florida as opposed to the Florida Grid League, because we've grown so much outside of the state.
Well, and this is probably an ideal package for eyeballs, whether you're streaming a show or you get a television contract down the road. Is that something that you, I'm sure, have discussed as your expansion plans take place?
That is the goal, yes. We have over 200,000 followers on our YouTube, and we are actually live streaming our matches today.
I just pumped you up to 300,000, so we'll go with that number. How's that?
Perfect. But yeah, we're in talks with television. We'd love to get on, just as a sport, and also to tell the drama behind the sport too. You know, with men and women on the same team, with the wide variety of...
You want a reality show, Ruby, right?
Yeah. It would be great to show that drama, too.
Because it's sad how my Americans love that reality. And if you inserted it into this format, you'd probably make a ton. And this old man, it would bother me, but it's the reality of making some bank. And as you said, it would be a good behind the scenes. They're doing it with the MMA right now, behind the scenes breakdown of the athletes.
Yeah, the best part about it, though, would be men and women on the same team, just like life. You know, that's what we love about this sport in general, is that it's such a good representation of what life is like. You have to get along with everybody. You have to be able to lead everybody and be play on a team. And so that lends itself to enough drama, because life has drama and everybody would be able to relate to it.
Hey, Ben, do you think you could play nicely with young ladies?
Yeah, I play nicely every day, Mike.
I'm talking about competitive and keeping your social skills intact.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think that, I mean,
you're a gentleman normally, but
yeah, there's a lot of great women athletes out there. I mean, we see it all the time with softball, and we interacted with them greatly as a college baseball player. And so you see the talent and you have to respect it. And I think it's great that in this league, you're able to compete alongside them and really kind of see what each other has and pull the most out of each other.
Ruby, is there a certain racial? How many gals to guys on each team then? Or is it even?
It's equal. It's 50-50, yeah.
Well, it's the way it should be, right?
Exactly.
What do you think,
Ruby? It's funny, too, what's that?
I said, of course you're going to say that. What else? Yeah. I said, Ruby's going to say 50-50 the way it should be.
I mean, it's true, right?
Absolutely. So how did you get involved?
We're actually coming to play in August. Well, I'm the co-founder. My brother and I founded the league in 2016. And so we've been growing it grassroots style and you know, up to where it is now, where we have hundreds of people involved. And it's a really super fun thing for us.
Well, bravo. I love stories like this. I've been an entrepreneur my entire life, I can speak. If there's anything we can do for you, how do people find you? How do they get involved? And do you have people involved over here in Tampa St. Pete participating?
We do, actually. We have a team, the Tampa Bay Brigade, and a lot of the Orlando Aces are from that area as well. And we're actually coming to play on August 26th. At the Valor Fitness HQ. It's our equipment partner, and that's going to be our next match. This is August 26th. And yeah, people can come out and watch them live. We're also live streaming on our YouTube. And if you search VFGL, as in Florida Grid League, VFGL.com, there's all the information that you might need on our website.
Well, I tell you what, I told John this. When you guys come over in August, we'll talk to you again. Get us information on how to put it on our social media and promote it for you, because we have our own. And if you guys ever decide you're going to do a podcast, we have our own FloridaSportsStream.com. We'll put it on there. That'd be a good start, the audio side of it, behind the scenes, this conversation. So there's plenty of things for us to talk. Now that I know that you're the founder, we'll certainly get behind you and give you plenty of exposure here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection.
Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate that.
All right. Stay cool today. Are you guys outdoors today?
No, we're in the Orange County Convention Center today.
Oh, good. I was thinking you're outside. I said, keep an eye on my buddy John Ruggles. All right.
I sure will.
All right. Have a great day and have a great 4th of July.
Thank you so much. You too.
All right. That's Ruby George. Kind of a cool concept. You better get your ass in shape.
Hey, yeah. It looks like it's a great thing to, you know, a lot of the CrossFit people, I think, would really buy into this kind of concept. It's something fun to, you know, really kind of show your physical strength, not just in I can lift this much weight, but I can do this while doing another thing. And then also counting on their teammates, because on their website, it says how to win. It's a mix of speed, strategy, and teamwork. And that seems like the big thing for it is teamwork, both between men and women, in getting the job done.
Gotcha. My old dinosaur world, the girls played over here and the guys played over there. So I'd have to get a little adjusted to it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's
but I know a lot. When I went to Western Kentucky and ran track, I dated a basketball player. And she asked me and a couple of guys if we would be the practice squad against them. I'm like, are you kidding me? Of course, we'll crush you. Now, we're track guys, but I played a lot of hoops. Got absolutely ate up, humiliated, and quit after three practice sessions.
I'm not much of a basketballer, Mike.
You get ate up too.
You'd eat me up right now if we played basketball, Mike. You'd run circles around me.
Are you just baseball?
No, you saw me swinging the golf club.
You're not golf yet either.
Mike, I blasted that. I was blasting the most of that.
I don't care how you blast.
Hybrid?
Pitch and putt, nice soft touch. There's a lot more to the game, you goop ball, than
I got. I got my triple track putter, Mike. It's pretty darn nice.
You can get the triple track all day long you want. When it comes to putting, I'll smoke you. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, and we're going to talk to Brad Richardson. We're going to talk a little high school sports. He is our guru. Brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor. Been quite the diverse show. And then we'll wind things down with Oscar Garner III, the Big O. We'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
The first quarter is over.
Never show weakness. The only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Fred here. Welcome to the Sea Dog Treasure Island, a waterfront root pub with a golf-inspired menu. Known for handcrafted cocktails and a wide variety of award-winning Sea Dog and Shipyard beers brewed right on site. Now serving breakfast daily starting at 8 a.m.
Chef Charlie here, featuring our homemade family recipes. Come try Big Mama's homemade biscuits and gravy, our award-winning shrimp and grits, and our handcrafted Maine lobster Benedict.
Located on the water, just walking distance to the Treasure Island Beach. Enjoyment for all ages. Cheers.
Rowdies fans, your Tampa Bay Rowdies are back this Saturday. Join us on Saturday, July 8th at Al Lang Stadium in downtown St. Petersburg as the Rowdies take on Oakland Roots SC at 7:30 p.m. Experience 90 minutes of action-packed soccer you won't want to miss. Enjoy buy one, get one beers, and get your tickets now by calling 727-222-2000 or visiting us at rowdysoccer.com. We'll see you at Al Lang on Saturday, July 8th at 7:30 p.m. Come on, you Rowdies!
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Tampa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, raised bucks and lightning watch parties, every game and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Tampa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. A little shout out to my man, Matt. Yeah, Brad's in the house. That happens occasionally. People that I anticipate doing a call in, they're in the house, and he's Brad Richardson. We are brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor and Coca-Cola Beverages. Of course, a nice segment, our Rowdy segment, where we give tickets to the high school soccer community. If you're a high school coach listening and you would like some Rowdy's tickets, just reach out to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Personal messages, and we'll get back to you, and we will get you tickets to the Rowdies. They'll be in town on the 8th. They're in Vegas tonight. Rays are – everybody's out west tonight. If you want to follow your Rowdies, you got to stay up late. You want to follow your Rays, you got to stay up late. And I kind of did that last night.
Yeah, I mean, it was a heck of a game. It was well worth staying up for, Mike. I know I might have missed it, but I was happy to see the score at the end of the night.
Absolutely. You know what? It sounded like a NCAA College World Series game.
It really did.
15-4. They had two games with four on Sunday and Monday last week.
And all in the eighth inning. I mean, that's where all of our runs came from. It was spectacular seeing the guys put up a fight, show that they have a little bit of grit to them, that they're able to stay late into a ball game. And
well, look what they did on game three. To win the series, the first series they'd won in quite some time, mm-hmm. in Arizona. The ninth inning, I was listening to that game. I thought, this game is over. Two outs, two down, and come back to win that game 3-2, 3-1. And that was 1-1 at the top of the ninth. And I think that gave them that spark again they needed.
Yeah, and there's been just a lot of exciting baseball just in general. I mean, the Yankees, Domingo Germán, he threw a perfect game, Mike.
I saw that. I actually posted it on our Facebook, and it's been getting just pounded.
Yeah, now I believe the Yankees are now the have the most pitchers to throw perfect games. It he joins Cone 99, Wells in 98, Larson in 1956 to break their tie that they had, and now have four guys all have thrown perfect games, and it's the first since Felix Hernandez tossed one in August 15, 2012.
My man Wells, he was quite the sculpted athlete, wasn't he? Dave Wells looked like he was the guy in Cheers sitting at the bar. But he's Norm. But he's a great guy. I met him briefly. I know David Cohn. He's from Kansas City. Ran into him in a sports bar one time. So that's a good factoid.
That's how I like my pitchers though, and my baseball players, Mike. I like them to look like an average Joe,
Do you ever recall a guy named Mickey Lolich?
Not
Mickey Lolich, 1969 Cy Young, Detroit Tigers, lives down in Naples now. And I was with him in 2000 over at the Trop at his induction into the Hall of Fame, the Ted Williams Hall of Fame. But he was a chunky monkey, I'll just say that. He owned a donut shop in Detroit.
Really?
That tells you anything.
There's irony there.
For sure. They still open Mickey's Donuts. They're
probably best donuts in town.
Probably.
Ask anybody from Detroit. They are. That's all I wanted to talk about. I picked him up down at downtown at the hotel, and he gets in, and I knew everything about him, and he's got his wife with him, and I said, I'd done a little background check. I said, hey, how's the donut business? He talked for 10 minutes about the donut business, and then he talked about how many cops loved him. He was hilarious. Well, they love Brad Richardson, his in-depth research into the world of high school sports. We are absolutely diving in this year. On the 29th of July, here's the official announcement. We will be doing the Pinellas County Media Day downstairs from 10 until 2. That's a Saturday. We will have hopefully 24 teams. We'll start efforting them next week, and we'll have five players from each team come down. We'll be interviewing them. We're going to have it streaming as well as the audio on the stream and our terrestrial radio, and that is July 29th, brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor, and I'm looking forward. It's going to be a blast, and Bradley, you're going to have a lot of work to do in the month ahead.
A month and a half, definitely, yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun.
No, a month, brother.
I know, a month, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to definitely be a fun month and all, so, this week's been interesting. Baseball season's done. We all know that, the high school season was great. Now, what do these kids do? They go to travel ball in the summer. I mean, you have none other than Florida Burn, MVP Baseball, Perfect Game. And every so often, kids around the country, they'll play Legion Ball and all. So this past week, something was just popping up all over my news feed on Twitter, and I just had to find out what it was about. So GEICO, they sponsor the High School Baseball National Championship, and this is out in Texas. This is at Dallas Baptist University. Now, with this whole tournament, okay, there's 20 teams, and this is done in tournament format with 40 teams. Now, during the summer, these players are hand-selected by any of these coaches all over the country, okay? Coaches in Florida, Greg Olson, who is Calvary Christian's coach, him and another couple coaches chose the best of the best upcoming underclassmen in Florida. I mean, like I said, best of the best. So this was this past week, June 27th to the 30th. And this was invitation only. There was no tryouts, nothing.
Is this the game that was on last night?
Yes, on ESPN.
Okay, I just want to make sure the old man was keeping up.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I got to keep Ben on his toes and all that.
No. Ben's on his toes.
Yeah. So anyway, like I said, a lot of these players were chosen around Pinellas and Hillsboro. Underclassmen. There was even a player that was from Key West High School, all the way from Key West High School, that flew all the way out to Texas for this thing. So it was interesting. It was definitely a lot of variety of kids from across the state of Florida going out to Texas.
Well, we had two of our own there too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we'll get to that, of course. So, Pinellas County definitely showed up with its two players, Kendall Hoffman and Alex Espelot from Seminole High School. I mean, we got to look out for them. I'm always talking about them.
You had a couple of your players there?
Yeah. Yep. The two, Alex Espelot and Kendall Hoffman, were there. He pitched in the previous game too.
Yeah, he closed out the Florida Texas game. Mm-hmm. Went sick, and with this, he won the game. He closed it out. Final score 4-1 for Florida. I mean, they definitely were definitely a strong team. I mean, you also had Calvary Christian there, Grayson Gibson, Andrew Tess, and Cameron Zilla. And one thing we did talk about, Mike, Josh Castellani of Holland High School was there, and also from Eastlake High School, Jaden Harriel. With a lot of these kids here, okay, again, they're underclassmen. Some of them have committed to schools and all. Josh Castellani, he committed to Clemson already. You have Alex Espalade, he's committed to Alabama State. I mean, Garrison Gibson, Ole Miss, Andrew Tess Pitt High School, and from East, and then of course Jaden Herriel from FAU. This is also underclassmen, like I said, not just from 2024, but going into the class of 2025. Lots of talent out there. And
I'm just amazed, fellas. We got plenty of time. So I'm just amazed at the level of baseball talent in this state. I mean, football overwhelmed me, but baseball. And then watching the LSU game, they had about four or five Floridians on that LSU national championship game. Did you notice that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like we've talked to in the past, you know, sports can be played here year round, no matter what. I mean, any sport can come down here. Even with this tournament, by the way, they didn't have just baseball. They had lacrosse, basketball, and soccer. So there was a lot of teams that came from all over the country to play in this area. So a lot of sports.
I mean, I growing up and being a baseball player, I got to experience it firsthand. We never stopped, Mike. It was every single season. The only holiday we really got off was Christmas.
Maybe Thanksgiving.
Yes, but that's whatever. It's Thanksgiving. That's not my favorite one. But I'm just saying, we never get a spring break. We're one of the few teams that doesn't. And there's never a dull moment. Seminole. No, we don't get a spring break because you play through it.
Well, true. But the other thing too with Seminole, it used to be the Steve Georgiadis Memorial Baseball Tournament was on spring break. Now, the Nate Richardson preseason classic, that's preseason.
Your obviously. Family's tournament.
Yeah, my family's tournament. And then the week later is the Georgiadis one. So baseball, it starts off right away. It's just a locomotive.
What do you do in the fall?
In the fall, you do fall ball.
Yep.
You play so if you're at the high school level, you'll play on local teams. Seminole, it's the Nats.
Yeah, the Nats.
Green and orange.
Yeah.
And we'll play other local teams that come up with their own teams, their own A, B kind of teams that they'll bring out.
Well, I know one that's real popular is the Florida Rebels.
Yeah.
And really with all this stuff here, and one thing to keep about in mind too, with any travel ball teams, it's all about who's coaching it, who has the connections, who can help these kids going forward in terms of getting into colleges, whether it be from JUCO all the way up to D1. It's all about the connections, what you know, and who's going to be there and who's looking at you.
Yeah. As you said, in today's world, though, there's so many platforms where a kid can get recognized and you also have the internet, you know, you can see some of these kids and their performances that are viral, and you don't even need to meet them in person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think sometimes that, especially when you're in in-game situations, when you play a regular season, whether it's high school or college, it can actually, I think, add to a little bit of detriment to the player, because you now see the pitch sequences that they have. You get to see the pitches that they throw for strikes, pitches that they have a little less command on, because so much of it is available to the players that if you're knowing who you're going to face prior to a game, you can look them up and see their perfect game score. Say, well, they sit between 89 to 92. They have a breaking ball, a fastball, a two-seamer, and it breaks down exactly what kind of pitcher they are that you don't need to go out and do your own scouting report. So it works against some of these players.
Well, and also with the scouting reports as well, keep this in mind. You talked about how much exposure there is on social media. How many games do we know of that are live streamed? Okay, so all you have to do is watch these. If you have a camera placed just right behind home plate, you can see with any pitcher that they have, you can see how their curveball is, how their changeup goes, and all you need is someone with a radar gun, and you can get an idea of how fast their fastball is. I mean, there's so many ways, not just by looking at a book, but also watching them in a game situation. Every player is going to have an off day. It happens. I mean, but you can also tell. I mean, you take Perfect Game, for instance. Perfect Game will line these kids up at the plate. They will, and even on the mound, and they will see their best moments when they're hitting and all. But when you get these kids, and that'll show the best part of their athleticism. But when you get them into a game situation, that's always interesting to watch. So,
and I think that's what makes our Florida guys so well, is that we have so many in-game situations for these guys. They have ample opportunities to hone their stuff against live competition. Whereas you get guys in the North and Northeast that are playing in gyms, that are, you know, hitting batting cages in the old gymnasium of schools and of churches. And I remember when I was in a summer league where we were up in Virginia at one point, and there was no outdoor hitting facility. You went into the basement of the old church and you hit in there.
Oh,
it's not
in the great state of Iowa. It's the same thing.
Yeah,
I mean, that's why I'm stunned that I'm only bringing up Iowa because at the beginning of the year when LSU was ranked number one, the Iowa Hawkeyes, who made it to the last 48 teams, they had a great season. They consider that a great season, making it into the College World Series mm-hmm. regionals, and they took down LSU early in the season. But if you look at the difference and what you have to do to be able to be on your game up north compared to down here.
Yep, exactly, yeah.
It's not a level playing field.
Mm-hmm. I always feel this too, is that in terms of where you are in the country, regional wise, it all shows how much of a player they're really willing to fight every game situation from every pitch to every hit. You can see how each player will go and just approach the game in the situation they are. Down here, again, you got weather year round. You can play in every great condition. But when you look at teams that are still in winter up north and having to do that, when they finally get onto the playing field and all, you could see how much they have to fight and prove that they're going to be on the team. With every team here, you have 20 to 22 slots on their roster, all right? Those what makes every team in the season. With those teams up north, those kids are really fighting, really, really fighting. And during the spring, when everything finally melts and they're on the field, this is their moment to shine because they still don't know which coaches are going to be watching them, because at that point, not much you can really do. So until the season starts.
Yeah, those northern teams, they can come out a little fresher too, because yep. they don't have to worry about, you know, playing a grueling summer, playing a fall ball, playing a winter ball. They don't have to worry about that. But I think that speaks to the longevity and the endurance of players who come from the South. They're able to go long stretches of time and go deep into seasons and still keep the same level of performance that a lot of the kids from the North just don't bring. They're able to come out hot at the beginning of the season, but I've seen it in my own experiences at Savannah State. Guys who come from the Midwest, from the Northeast, those kids tend to kind of fizzle out towards the end of the season because they're not used to playing a full year-long baseball season.
True, and I mean that is true as well. So, but I mean again, it's all about how the caliber of a kid. That's really it is, the caliber of a kid, their priorities, and what they really want to do, and how much they're really going to work to get to that next step going forward with college and, you know, realizing how baseball is going to help them with their career. I mean, let's take you, for instance. You went to Savannah State, you played all those years, you got your degree, and then you went and you got your master's. So it definitely benefited you in the long run.
Oh, yeah. I'm happy that I was able to, you know, blow a couple summers just playing baseball. You do get to miss out on a couple things, unfortunately. I didn't get to go out to the beach every day with my friends, but at the end of the day, I didn't have to pay for school. You know, all that was covered, and it was because of baseball.
All right, fellas, let's take a break. We'll be back here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We'll finish up with Brad, and then we'll be talking to the big O, Oscar Garner III. And my favorite movie was on this week. I forgot to text you and tell you. AG, the American Gangster. That's a real positive perspective. We'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
Halftime's over. Reset the clock.
We're going to shut them down.
Dial the down.
Do it!
And get your head in the game.
Visualize an attack. Yes. Visualize an attack.
Yes, 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 with please. The Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I'll take a scotch and water. Hold the scotch.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
I'm Captain Jeff Vickers from Florida Fishing and Adventures. Do you want to constantly catch more fish, spend less time changing baits? If so, Monster 3X baits, jigs, and scents are the answer. Monster 3X baits are tough, durable, and resistant, which allows you to catch more fish per bait. The combination of the Monster 3X lure with the ProCure bait super scent, you will be landing more fish right away. Whether it's the Monster 3X Ultra Soft or the X Swim lures, swim shad, paddle tails, crawfish, or the X Frog, Monster 3X, you'll always find it in my tackle box.
Rowdies fans, your Tampa Bay Rowdies are back this Saturday. Join us on Saturday, July 8th at Al Lang Stadium in downtown St. Petersburg as the Rowdies take on Oakland Roots SC at 7:30 p.m. Experience 90 minutes of action-packed soccer you won't want to miss. Enjoy buy one, get one beers, and get your tickets now by calling 727-222-2000 or visiting us at rowdysoccer.com. We'll see you at Al Lang on Saturday, July 8th at 7:30 p.m. Come on, you Rowdies!
Berg Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the clubhouse studios inside Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Connection Radio Networks. We wind things down on this first day of July. Of course, the Rays are out west in Seattle, and they got a clubbing last night from, the Mariners got a clubbing from us. Mm-hmm. And tonight, I think it's a 10:20 first pitch. The game got over at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, it'll be another late night for the Rays fans. And speaking of late nights, Mike, on this day in history, I got to give you a little bit of information. At the last minute, the state of Illinois passed a bill to build a new stadium for the White Sox to prevent them to come into Tampa Bay and becoming the Tampa Bay White Sox.
They were broadcasting the San Francisco Giants down here during that period.
And they were almost moving down here as well, Mike. Their shirts made up of both teams, the Tampa Bay Giants and the Tampa Bay White Sox.
Great collectibles. Bradley, anything else as we wind things down? We got to dive into the Big O and of course, Alex, their podcast. We need to break down the little NBA.
Yeah, I mean, just to wind things down Florida was able to show they were one of the top with this tournament that they were in. I mean, they got it done. They beat, California. Same kind of conditions with California. They could play baseball year-round. They were able to pull it off, a 3-0 win against them. I mean, again, this tournament showed the best of the best all over the country, and definitely in Florida, the best of the best up-and-coming underclassmen.
And it speaks for itself. Well, where were you last week, man?
Last week I was coming back from Chicago, man. I was waiting by the phone. I was waiting to get a phone call.
On the old man.
Nobody was dialing me.
No, I had one of the digits incorrect. And again, the Big O's in the house today up there, Matt. He graced his presence here. So a lot's happened since our last conversation.
Yeah.
And you guys haven't had an opportunity to talk about the NBA?
No.
Free agency just went crazy overnight. $2 billion in deals done.
Crazy money. Alex is out right now. He's traveling. Shout out him.
Puerto Rico. Life's tough.
Yeah. He's struggling, man. Right? But we haven't had a chance to cover anything on our show, but there's so much that's been happening since the NBA championship. I told him on the show this offseason was going to have some of the highest turnover that we were ever going to see in the NBA. With the new CBA, new contract deals with TV, the Players Association and whatnot, it was going to be impossible for teams to pay players and hoard talent the way that they have in the past, i.e. the Warriors. The Warriors have paid millions in the luxury tax, millions over the salary cap over the past few years in the name of championships. They're going to have to win in different ways now because they can't garner the same money. Jordan Poole.
I love it. Some parity.
There'll be more parity. And we've already been somewhat moving towards that. The Nuggets winning is a perfect example of the parity. We've seen the Bucks, other teams emerge, smaller markets have a good showing. It's good for the league. This is going to be a continuation of that. Not only that, but we're seeing also a diversity of talent, which can help and hurt the NBA. I do want to talk about, can I pontificate on the draft for a little bit?
I was hoping you would.
I actually even heard about it. It was the French guy, right? Something like that?
Five international players in the top five. And does that impact the American game?
So I was talking to Alex about this. I said, Alex, I texted him. I said, the NBA draft blows. Hey, I don't like it anymore. I really love the offseason. I love the trades. I love trying to make sense of who's going where, what's doing what. But
what college it came from?
That's the problem.
Yeah.
These guys aren't coming from college. It's a global sport. There's less barriers to basketball. See, the football system is very American. Guys come up through college. You know them from either Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson had highlights in high school that made it to Instagram. Then he was at Louisville. He was doing his thing. Now he's a big brand at the Ravens. You can follow that story. Who's ever seen Wembanyama play a full game? The twins, the Thompson twins, one of which we drafted. I'm excited. I've watched his tapes.
You got worms.
Watch out. The Pistons. Sorry. The Pistons draft.
Now he's a Pistons fan.
Anyway.
Weren't you wearing a Celtics jersey the other
day? Hey, look, I'm going to talk about what the Celtics moves have made. I'm going to talk about that. We'll get to Marcus Smart.
We got
to
stay local. We got to talk about the Magic, man. That's our team right here.
Magic have made some moves. Other teams have made some moves. The issue is Amen and Ausar Thompson. Nobody's ever seen them play. You've seen a couple highlights as of recent.
I agree 1,000% where you're going.
Five players, four of them were non-college kids, and the one college kid was the kid from Bama who had a gun case. He had a gun charge.
Yeah.
Think about the popularity. How can you have a popular sport, an American brand, when four of the guys are coming from these different basketball products, and then the one is somebody that's not really loved nationally?
Just like globalization has impacted the U.S. economy on many scales, people don't believe that. It has, and it's doing it to basketball. And I thought that they were smarter than that. They need to look in the mirror and say, this is what you're doing to the game. And it's eroding, and it's not. If they continue it, it's going to be irreversible.
Y'all don't think that that's going to grow the game even further? I know, you know, we don't see that.
Not the passion that there is.
That's the issue. Yeah, it's from a dollars perspective. If you're an NBA shareholder,
you love it.
There's a lot of revenue, and it's growing. Of course, the French are going to be. I mean, think of all the people who are back in Europe watching Jokic play.
Exactly.
He was huge.
4 in the morning watch parties. People getting hammered.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Exactly. That's beneficial to the NBA.
Well, here's another thing. Think about this, too. Look at baseball and football now going overseas. Think about that. Think about that market growing as well.
The NBA is playing games in Mexico. They're going to be playing some games in Europe this season. You're going to see a lot more of that because they have to. And like I said, from an owner perspective, it makes sense. But for somebody like me, think of the stories of the NBA that we love, right? Think of Melo. Melo never won a ring, but he had that Syracuse chip. He was a gold medalist. Kobe. Kobe came up, Lower Marion. People have that Lower Marion jersey. MJ, UNC, Magic, Michigan State, Larry Bird, Indiana State. All these guys come up through the farm system of college basketball, playing big games. Even some guys coming straight from high school, KG, yep. Right? These big brands, the guys that we've watched grow. And now, think of the guys that we have to look at now. Zion. Zion was like the biggest college guy that we had. Mm-hmm. He's burning out. Jordan Hawkins hit a game winner in the NCAA tournament. He didn't go top five. Adame Sinogo ate up in the NCAA championship. He went undrafted. Our guy, Marquise Noel, he went undrafted, had to get a two-way contract with the Toronto Raptors after putting on an amazing show and being named Mr. New York. How does somebody named Mr. New York not get drafted?
Exactly. Yeah.
I love that kid.
I love him. He gave my team 19 assists and beat us in the Sweet 16.
That would be Michigan State.
That would be Michigan
State. That one you can claim. He graduated from it.
Old Zion, he couldn't stop being injured. That's the whole thing with him. Every time he turned around, he was having an injury.
And that's the problem. The guys who are consistently showing up, who are garnering a lot of attention, they're not American guys. No fault to them, but how can you love it? Yep. If that's the brand, and it's
and then you got guys like Ja Morant. I love the story, Murray State, and he's blowing it, man.
And to have, if these are the stories that we have to cling to, Zion, Brandon Miller, Ja, yeah, if these are the stories we have to cling to, the American version of basketball is dwindling.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, not to get on a political or platform. That's for a podcast. But from the urbanization of the game, which has been positive in every community across America, has proven that, and giving back and getting involved in positive things for the kids to play, that will start to wane as well.
It will. Okay. It will. Because, I mean, if I think back to my community where I grew up in Detroit, like during my come up, it was the Pistons, right? You watch that team. Everybody wanted to be Chauncey Billups, Mr. Big Shot, Richard Hamilton, Tayshaun Prince with a chase down. Everybody wanted to be that. When you have
not everybody wanted to be a bad boy.
not everybody wants to hang around
bastards,
throw elbows. But I mean, you got guys like LeBron, LeBron is the last of the great American hero in basketball right now. And until, you know, when you have the next greatest prospect being a Frenchman, you know, it's great.
Exactly. Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because actually during the Buckshot O'Sullivan Classic that was held at Calvary at all, they had a kid there. I mean, kid was tall. I mean, you're looking at, I think it was like 7'1" or something like
that. I remember that kid, yeah.
Yeah, I showed you a photo of that. And he was there. This kid, I mean, just towered over them. And he was from, I believe it's Quebec is where he was from. It's funny you mentioned, you know, the French and all that. But this kid, I mean, you're getting back to, these are from not really homegrown U.S. players. These are from all over the world. So,
hey, well, the game started in Canada. So, I mean, it's true. Returning to it.
Very, very fair. Returning to his roots. Maybe this is all rooted in the wrong place. I will say this, though. If the NCAA or the NBA doesn't come up with a way to streamline, either give me the G League product. We're talking about the international. But a lot of G League guys went top 10. At least figure out a way to give me the
two or three, I think.
Yeah, three guys. Scoot Henderson was the other one. The two twins of Scoot Henderson. Nobody's ever watched Scoot play. He's a crazy good talent, but nobody's ever seen him. I need to be able to see the G League product a little bit better, a little bit more, so I can care more.
People don't go to the games. They have a G League team in Des Moines, and I was heavily involved, and I would take my sons. You know, they have passion for basketball. I go, this is some. They go, Dad, this is just G League. I go, just G League? These are some of the best basketball players in the world. There's only five. That's what people don't realize. The opportunities to play basketball, numbers wise, versus baseball, football, any other sport, are very minute,
very small. Yeah.
And you know, there's a real issue with this model, and it starts with the NCAA and their issues. I don't know how they're going to get their arms around it.
Yep. It's the byproduct of a star-driven league. It's not about the brand anymore. It's not about where you come up. It's not about the story.
It's me. Yeah.
It's who's going to sell
Kyrie. Jerseys? Kyrie and me.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's just get your opinion on it. Since we're talking the international side of it and obviously talking about home, the one thing I've always had a criticism of is anything with the Dream Team in the United States. Should you have NBA All-Stars playing on that team when you should have kids that are in college that are representing the up-and-coming stars to be
playing? The Russians caused that.
True, but here's my point, though.
In Olympic history.
Do you feel that it's all about just driving a revenue, having the NBA players on the Dream Team when they go to the Olympics? Remember, the Olympics are coming up soon. They're going to be in L.A. this time. So, I mean, what do you think?
I think when you think of basketball Olympics, right? You think of the Dream Team and the Redeem Team,
mm-hmm.
Two groups that garner probably most of the top 75 team of the NBA. I don't think you can get away from that. I think when it comes to being an American, when it comes to being proud, it's cool to see these guys go, and you see them go up against a Marc Gasol or Paul Gasol in their home country.
Yeah, in Spain.
You know, you see guys coming out of. Trying to think, guys who have played Cambodia. You have Joel Embiid playing out of there. Seeing them get a chance to play, mm-hmm. I think it's important to remember these guys do have homes that aren't America.
Okay, all right.
No, that's pretty cool.
And, I think seeing that is cool. What I will say this: FIBA, mm-hmm. the FIBA World Cup, and some of those
most corrupt organization on the planet.
Trust me, mm-hmm. I get it. But at the end of the day, it's a stage. It's another platform to grow the game. This should be a place where we're sending the younger guys, some of the upper echelon college guys. The fact that Drew Timmy didn't get drafted and he won't be on that team, and he's gonna be gutting out a way to get on an NBA roster instead of playing on a world.
Did he start for 4 years at Gonzaga?
He did.
Four? Yeah.
He had 5 years of eligibility. I think he started for four, though. So, but with that said, instead of him being on the FIBA team, or instead of him competing on a national stage, he's fighting it out, trying to figure out, we're going to lose him in the time that, like, people are going to forget about Drew Timmy and what he's built up over time. That's the part that I think people miss.
And he's kind of a brand in college basketball.
He was.
At least in Northwest, Northwest America, he certainly is.
Think about the hype that we have about March Madness.
Yeah.
You watch these guys do their thing, and then you don't get to see them pick up NBA minutes at the next level immediately.
And it's sad.
It's a disservice.
It is sad.
I do want to switch gears, though, to free agency a little bit.
Yep, we got a few minutes.
Breaking news today. Damian Lillard has requested out. You guys probably didn't see that because it actually broke while you guys were on the air.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Damian Lillard requested.
He's leaving Portland?
Leaving Portland.
He should.
He's requesting a trade.
He got Scoot now. They think he can't replace
him. When I was looking at the Scoot draft, I was saying this is bifurcating in one of two ways. They're either doubling down or getting out. There's no, we don't know what we're doing.
Well, he doesn't trust him. Why would you trust him if you're Damian?
No.
And I knew a lot of the front office guys, because two of them were from Des Moines, Iowa, back in the day when they were trying to rebuild that.
Front office at Portland?
Yeah, and now they're with the Pacers.
Well, now that they have a top three talent in Scoot, they just signed Jeremy Grant to 160, I think. They're retooling in a rebuild mode. I'd like to see Dame in Miami. I think they have a great opportunity for him with Caleb Martin and some of those backcourt guys leaving that were leading that team. You still have Kyle Lowry. Get Damian Lillard in there with Jimmy, with Bam. That's a championship team that can actually come back and truly compete for a ring instead of just winning the East. I'm excited to see where Dame lands. Probably the biggest free agent target, but he's still under contract for a year. Or 2 years. He's still under contract for 2 years. I'm excited to see where he goes. Only a few teams actually have capital for him. The Suns are out. They would have been a good favorite with if Beal didn't get signed. That, first, I want to say that too. The Suns team isn't going to work. I want to mark that here now, and I'm going to tell you why.
How about Chris Paul with the Warriors?
Chris Paul, that is going to work, and I'll touch on both of those.
You only got 2 minutes.
Touch on both of those. Jordan Poole is out.
Yep.
They traded.
Got hit in the face and left.
For experience, and they traded dysfunction for function. The Suns are mortgaging everything. If it doesn't work this year, it won't work at all. That is a team that only has one ball and three Batmans. Guys who all played Batman throughout their career, it just does not work, and they have no bench. No bench whatsoever. It's just mark it now. The Suns don't make it past the second round.
You heard it here. Real quick on your Celtics, I know you want to whine about that.
The Marcus Smart was bottom five in starting point guards. His efficiency is low and he's terrible in late game. I don't like Chris Stapps because of his injury history. It seems like a wash, and being a big man is not what we were missing. I'm looking for them to be aggressive on getting a guard back for that team.
He's Oscar Garner III, the big old Axeman. He and Alex Reba. You can hear him on FloridaSportsStream.com. They have an excellent podcast, as you can see. He's very knowledgeable in the NBA. What do you got going on the rest of the weekend?
Not much. I know that there's a...
What day are you coming over to help me move that dresser?
You just tell me when and I'll be over there. But I think there's a bar crawl going on tonight for the 4th of July. I might be at that, but I was at a comedy show earlier this week at the Yard of Ale, and it was a good time. I got to see Johnny B there and real friendly people.
How about you, Bradley?
Me, unfortunately, I have to work and all that, but maybe, I'm going to just brave it a little bit and go see the new Indiana Jones movie. But that's all. I'm not sure yet, but that's probably one thing that's going to be
fun. Vigo's working on his Espanol as he's heading south of the border.
Hola, yeah. Me amo Benjamin.
Yeah, a little bit of that, a little bit of that. Absolutely.
So when are you leaving?
I leave on the 5th, so I'm going to be an American on the 4th, and I'm going to be a Spanish on the 5th.
Yeah, well stick by the red, white, and blue, brother. And last year, we had the party, didn't we?
Yeah, that was a great time, the Black
Hawks. Hey.
And they just actually played over at the Sound, Mike. I don't know if you saw that.
Well, Terry went to the opening night of the Sound, mm-hmm. And I in fact, we see the Black Hawks everywhere, and I'm moving, so with no help.
Hey,
I'll just mention that again.
You got my phone number, Mike. You call me up. Well, or actually, Brad. Actually,
I had to give him Brad the number.
Be better.
Oh, yeah. But no, I had to give Mike your phone number.
Yeah, so. Mike had a little phone issue, but we're back in business now.
Dave did. Oh, my gosh, yeah. But anyway, interesting show. Art Soccer, Dave Wilson, Peter Blake, Ruby George, Brad Richardson, the big old Ben Botham, Joe McGraw, and Matt on the controls. I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Wishing you and your families a fabulous weekend. God bless you. God bless America. Happy 4th of July. And as always, be sure to have a championship week.